Good morning to all of you. It's good to see all of you. I can see some new faces. So all over the world, Christmas is now being celebrated. And obviously, Christmas is many things to many people. Time for partying, time for giving and receiving gifts, a lot of shopping, and obviously the business people looking forward to reaping revenues. And Christmas is also a time for family gathering. Those who are studying far away or working abroad, coming back. Probably not so much for us Singaporeans, but I know other countries, Christmas is a time for reunion, similar to our Chinese New Year. Yes, Christmas is a celebration of a birthday. And most people understand it as a birthday of a founder of Christianity. So in a sense, Christmas is widely celebrated. And as we can see, mostly celebrated by people who really don't understand what Christmas is all about. In fact, I would say that even Christmas is celebrated by people who are hostile to Christianity. It's very interesting, right? There was once a man, a very religious man, who was extremely religious in keeping his religion. He observed every requirement that his religion required him to do. He performed his religious duties to the point that no one can fault him. And he was tremendously proud that he could stay close and true to his religion. His zeal for his religion fired him to oppose a new religion that was gaining popularity. And that was something he was very upset and angry. He was so angry of this new religion, especially this new religion claimed to be from his religion, a root that comes out, a branch that comes out from his religion. So his fervency for his religion would not allow him to remain silent or sit still and just observe what's going on. He just cannot be still to see the spreading of this new religion. So he started to make the lives of the believers of the new religion miserable. Now, miserable is probably a very soft, a kind word. He used his religious authority to inflict suffering on the followers of the new religion. In fact, his name aroused great fear and anxiety among the believers of the new religion. They tried to hide from him, but he had his way of finding these followers of the new religion. And so he even got permission to hunt down those who embraced this new religion, who had gone to regions beyond his area. And no one in this new religion could believe that this man would one day be a strong promoter of the experience, of their experience in Christ. But it happened. It happened. Now, many of you who know your Bible would by now guess that I'm talking about Saul, the pre-Christian man. He was raised in Judaism, very proud of it. When you read all his letters, he talked about those days. Physically, in his natural, sinful way, he was very proud of it. But that was not so after he came to know Christ. So very fervent in observing his religion, enthusiastic for Judaism. He tried to silence the Christians. So for Christians, has been saying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah whom his religion had been looking for. He just could not accept that Christ was the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Old Testament. And so Saul joined the search and imprisoned Christians until the day the Lord met him when he was on the way to another region to persecute Christians. Christmas is the story of the gospel of God. It is about the plan of God for bringing people to have relationship with him. A relationship that can only be formed through the changing power of the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is really the theme of Christmas. We all know that, but it's a good time to remind ourselves so that in our interaction with people during this period, we will have the opportunity to remind people Christmas is the gospel of God. Christian life is about life-changing birthday. Now we're going to read Romans chapter 1. 1 to 6. If you have your Bibles, you may want to follow in your Bible. Here is Paul's testimony, the man who came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. The man who finally came to see Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in Holy Scripture, concerning his son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is a celebration of the life-changing power of God. Paul, in this first verse, gives his version of Christmas story. Saul, the persecutor of Christians, was visited by the resurrected Christ Jesus. This encounter changed him drastically and made him a new man. He called himself now a servant of Jesus Christ, whom in the past he refused to bow down his knees before Jesus Christ. Now he called himself servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing and submitting to his Lordship. He served Jesus Christ, which once he considered an imposter. Once he refused to bow before him, bow to his calling. Saul, that's a Hebrew name meaning zealot. But after his conversion, shortly after his conversion, when he started his missionary journey, active in evangelism, his name, he from there onward he used his Greek name, means small. Once he thought he was great, but now in Christ, he considered himself small. He submitted to the direction of Jesus Christ, whom in the past his pride dictated his steps in his way. He walked his own way until he met Christ. Now, a man who used to be self-directed became a person who was completely submitted and directed by Jesus Christ. A troubler of the church turned to be a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he met Christ, he got a new vision in life. He got a new purpose in life. He got a new sense of direction. Now, serving Christ as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Christmas, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which was already talked about in the Old Testament, in ancient past. And here Paul says, now I realize that Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was promised by God that he would come to be the Savior of the world. Now we'll just look at a few verses to indicate that there were the fulfillment in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in a human flesh was a fulfillment of some of the prophecies. There are about at least 350 prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about Jesus Christ. So those relating to his birth and his earthly life had been fulfilled. Let's just look at the one that's very common in Matthew. Matthew tells us that the special conception of Jesus Christ is predicted in Isaiah's time in the past. Matthew 1:23 says, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Another Old Testament prophet talks about the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And this is found in Matthew 2, verses 6 and 7. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet. And you all know the context. This was the time when the Magi, the wise men, came to look for the baby Jesus. And then King Herod asked his advisors, his religious advisors, to check it out. And then they found this prophecy. "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So just two verses among others that have been fulfilled in the earthly arrival of Jesus Christ to earth on the first Christmas. So the story of Jesus Christ is historical. We're talking about a real person. Then Paul goes on to talk a little bit more about Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about the second person in the Holy Trinity who came as a man. The Christmas story tells us that God the Son was supernaturally conceived in the womb of Mary, his mother, his earthly mother. He had an earthly father, Joseph. But Joseph had no part in the conception of Jesus Christ. Very clearly stated in the gospel. Both Mary and Joseph gave Jesus Christ the earthly heritage from the lineage of the famous Jewish king, King David. For it was promised to King David that a son from his line, his ancestry, will be a king forever and ever. And Christmas is a celebration of his human birth. Here are two relevant quotations. I'm going to quote again from the Old Testament. This was promised by God to King David. This is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this is what God said to King David. This one who's going to come from your line, from he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever and ever. All we know, all the sons and the following kings, human kings, could not hold the earthly kingdom for any longer than they should. But God said, they will come from your line who will establish the kingdom forever and ever. And then again, in another verse, it says, your house and kingdom will endure for before me forever, and your throne will be established forever. These are some promises made to King David of a son who will come to be a king of the world forever and ever. And we read that in the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Each of these gospels wrote a book about the person and life of Jesus Christ. The books are commonly known as the four gospels in the New Testament. And each wrote his book from a different aspect and different perspective. But all wrote about the birth, life, death, resurrection, and even ascension of Jesus Christ. And Paul himself stated the main point of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a nutshell form. And this, he put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the passage about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before he goes into the long exposition of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he states here, "For I delivered to you as of the first importance what I also received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's good news for all mankind. It is for everyone. The coming of Jesus Christ from heaven to earth was the wisdom of God to provide a way for people to be restored in their relationship with him. See, by themselves, they do not know God and they do not want to acknowledge God. It is just human sinful pride that does not want to worship God. People want their own lives, live their own lives according to their own ways, their own selfish inclination, and not too strong to say your sinful way. Man places his hope on things like education and science to give them satisfaction, to give them an understanding of the purpose of life. It's interesting for me to read recently that more people in the humanities, a lot of them found in humanities who don't believe in the existence of God, rather than those in sciences. If they believe that science is the answer to all human problems, then you should expect more scientists than more professors in the humanities to deny the existence of God. Simply not wanting to have a relationship with God, they act accordingly, according to the disobedience to the gospel of God. A willful, a deliberate, a personal act, as the Bible says, according to their sinful mind. So people substitute God with many other things, including religion, obviously, to find purpose in life. Even though these things fail them, they will still not turn to God. So God must do His work. God must work in a person to turn the person around to worship God. We saw that in the life of Paul. And this act is called the grace of God. This undeserving act of God will extend faith to man to turn to God. Man can only turn to God by faith, as an unmerited favor of God. God's working, God's doing, God acting upon the person's life. Paul was enabled by God to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior and became a proclaimer, a preacher of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ transformed him from a destroyer of the church to a builder of the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ changed the mind of Paul to thinking of going everywhere to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that all people of all kind will enjoy the grace of God. That is God working upon him and turn him to be one who was filled now with zeal, with enthusiasm, with power to go everywhere to preach the gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. He says this in these two well-known verses. This is his personal testimony. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, and also to the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He used to live by his works. He used to live by his own power. He used to live according to his religious practices. Then when God turned him by faith to see Jesus Christ and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior, he now says, the one who is going to enjoy the blessing of God, the righteous, we have to live by faith, that power of God. Now for the next portion, I'm going to share something from the prison ministry of Woodlands EFC. I thought I couldn't bring the people in person, so I'm going to bring them in video. Recently, Woodland CFC celebrated 10 years of involvement in prison ministry. And we thank God. In our midst, we see the power of God working in the lives of these people. Yeah, this is Pastor Joshua. He is the pastor in charge of the prison ministry. Is that the best way? Can you put it louder?
The pastor and ministry staff for support for the middle ministry.
And now, to all our beloved brothers and sisters in our prison ministry, you have been such a great blessing to us and also to the church. Through your life, you show us the length and breadth and height and depth of God's love. As Christians, we often talk about God's love, which Reverend Ming Lee just talked about. But we must admit at times that we cannot fully grasp the depth of His unconditional love for us. But for you, our brothers and sisters,
this is referring to God's love, what we call the brothers in the NLG New Life, the
ex-prisoners. It is also practical and real. Through receiving God's forgiveness, acceptance and restorations in your life, made possible through the blood of Christ, you have taste of God's love in a very real way. Your life, you live a life as a living testimony of how great and how marvelous the love of God is. Through your life, you show us that the gospel is still relevant and powerful for transformation today. Many of us may not often think about what transformation truly means. But for the brothers, transformation means a new life, a new beginning, a new hope, and also freedom from the old and destructive way of life. The power that makes this transformation possible is the power of the gospel. Jesus is powerfully working in the lives and bringing about change. To all our brothers and sisters in the prison ministry, a big thank you to you for reminding us of the love of God and also for showing us that the gospel is still relevant today, not just for you, but also for every one of us.
Alright, that's his introduction explaining what God is doing in the lives of these ex-prisoners. And I'm going to now show you a testimony of one of those who came to know the Lord and experience the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Good evening, church. My name is Jeffrey. I've been here in our prison many times. My last sentence was 5 years and 24 strokes of rotan. It was the worst experience of my life because it is really very pain. At the time, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So I requested the police officer to allow me to make a phone call to my father. And my conversation with him, he told me this: "You better change. If not, you will lose everything, including your family." These were his last words to me, and I felt deeply troubled by what he said after that. A few weeks later, I received news that my father passed away. It was the most painful moment of my life, even more painful than the 24 strokes of rotan. With permission granted by the prison authority, I was allowed to attend my father's funeral. At the funeral, my younger brother told me this: "You know why Papa does not want to see you while he is still in the hospital? It is because Papa can't bear to see you coming to visit him with handcuffs on and escorted by prison officer." This statement struck my heart deeply. Out of pain and shame, I knew down and began to cry bitterly. I said to myself, I must change. I felt very remorseful because I did not have the chance to see my father during his last day of his life. I felt full of regret and was lost. Shortly after that, I received news that my wife wanted to divorce me and took custody of my two sons. At that moment, I felt like what my father had said had come true. I not only lose everything, but also my family and my two young children. By the grace of God, it was the most painful moment of my life. God began to talk to me again. It was then that I realized that God never left me. Apart from God, there's one person who never left me, even up to the darkest moment of my life. That is my mom, who is here with us today. So I want to acknowledge and thank her. Sister Mami. I thank God that along the way, she brought many Christian brothers and sisters to encourage me, to counsel me, and also help me to see God's love for me. It was through God's love that once again I rededicated my life to Him. I told God, "God, I don't want this kind of life anymore. Please help me. Give me strength. Change me." So at the time, God spoke to me through Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Him who strengthened me." I know that I can't change by my own strength and own will. I've tried so many times and I fail again and again. I told God, "God, You need to help me. You need to change me. Only You can do it." So I came on to God's word, and true enough, God really changed me. For those who have known me before, you will notice that for the last 2 over years, God has changed me and also restored my life. I'm who I am today. It's not because of my own effort. It's because of God's unfailing mercy and grace on me. So brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that it is God's word that changed me and gave me hope. It is His word that is a lamp unto our path that lead and guide us. We just have to depend and surrender our lives to Him. By the grace of God, He has blessed me with a new wife, and I have also gained the two custody of my two sons from my ex-wife. Not only that, my wife Sheila is now pregnant. All glory to God.
Now, you from this testimony, you can see this man did not change like Paul immediately. Okay, a lot of prisoners or ex-prisoners, they have to go through some struggles simply because God has to break them down. until they really come to the end of themselves. And that's what God, I think, would do to all of us. Some of you probably can identify with his testimony, that God, as it were, took a while to bring you to your knees. All right, that's his work. I know you, when we talk about the power of God, we want to see instant change. But God, in his wisdom, know what to do. So, to you who have given faith by God to believe in Jesus Christ, I want to remind you, as in this verse. Okay, tells us that we are loved by God. We are a people of God. You are God's loved people. You are precious to him. If you feel downhearted this moment or any time after this, you feel discouraged, you feel life is difficult, or you may feel like this man, time after time he had to plead with God and he had to be reminded that God has not forsaken him, that God is still with him. Remember, at any time, in all circumstances, remember that God loves you and that he is working out his purpose in your life. God is doing his work in your life. That's the most, to me, as a Christian, is the most important fact, important truth to remember. God is not through with me. So God has called you. He has set you apart for himself. He takes complete responsibility for you. So Christmas is a good time to remind ourselves to be thankful to God, to our Heavenly Father, for his grace, for his love. Indeed, we can celebrate Christmas as a life-changing birthday. As we come to the end of the year, thank God for his faithfulness to you through this year, believing that he will bring you into the next year, the next step in life. For those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, who have not come to the point where you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior, all we do this morning is to urge you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense there is the stirring of your heart, there's a stirring of your soul, there is something saying, are you considering me? Are you considering Jesus Christ? I want to pray and urge you not to silence that voice, but come to Jesus Christ, and God will give you faith to believe him and enjoy this adventure of life with God. Let's pray, shall we? We thank you, Father, for reminding us that Jesus Christ had come to this earth some 2,000 years to be the Savior of the world, to be our Savior, to be my Savior. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for that day in each one of our life where you, as well, like Paul, met us and turned us to walk with you, to enjoy our relationship with you. Father, I want to thank you. We want to thank you for your, indeed, your love. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father, and thank you for holding us as precious being in your hands. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, I commit all of us to your grace as we soon finish this year and enter the new year. Pray that indeed we will be led of the Spirit to continuously enjoy your blessing in abundance. And I pray, Father, should there be anyone who has yet to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to enjoy the life of God in him or in her, may your Spirit continue to strive with him or with her. Thank you for all your wonderful things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.